Project Independence is the aging in place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. And we have the distinct honor to have with us the founder of OATS, which is Older Adults Technology Services, and that's Tom Camber. And it really, I'm just amazed with what has been accomplished. And at the break, and I'm going to send this back to Otto, at the break we were talking about the first program was in 2004, and here we are in 2020 from a computer point of view. I, believe it or not, and I'm 67 years old, I maybe was last month I bought my first laptop. I mean, I did, honestly, because I was doing this program with my partners. So I'd have to come to work and ask him to set me up. And then finally my kids were like, Dad, please, what are you doing? And as I'm navigating it, it's definitely much easier than it was, I'm sure, 15 years ago. And I can figure, I bought it for Zoom, to be perfectly honest, because where we are right now, I need to communicate with people. But, you know, you went back to 2004, 5, 6, that was tremendous times. And you mentioned just at the break, 16,000 people on a Zoom call. But I want to send it back to Otto, because Otto was, and very rightfully so, talking about how you navigated 2004.
Well, I go back to, I sold computers in my past in 1969, and they used paper tape, and they used magstripe cards, and it was very archaic, and they didn't always work, and we had a lot of legal activity back in those days because they just didn't work the way they were supposed to, and that was the state of the art at the time. So, but my point is that in 2004, even then, technology wasn't as user-friendly as it is today. And I think it's important for people to understand who might have a fear of technology. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to break it. You know, you hit a wrong button, so you hit a wrong button and you can fix it. You know, it's not like something's going to break. So I was just your take on the user-friendliness, if you will, compared to when you started. You know, like we talked at the break about using DOS back when, that required a lot of explaining, and you know, it was very complex, and it's nothing like that now. It's so different.
Yeah, I think it's this is a great topic and goes deeply into my experience with technology. I've never taken a computer class in my life, I should just say that. But I was one of the first generation of technology users that grew up around video games, and that when I went to college, my freshman year in college, people were the first group of students that were getting PC computers at college. And so I'm kind of on that bridge. We call it Generation X, right? My generation's a little bit younger, but we remember when there were no computers for the most part, and then transitioning into a world where we became almost completely digital. So I'm not really a digital native the way my kids are. When I went to graduate school, I remember going into one of the research offices and finding a stack in the corner behind a whole bunch of books and opening it up. And they were those punch cards, which is what you're describing. You had, when you made computer programs, you went to graduate school for sociology or political science in the 1970s, they would put you in a room and you would be punching punch cards all day to get your quantitative data. And a whole generation of graduate students spent thousands of hours focusing on technology, but not as much focusing on what you do with the technology. And I have to say, I felt so fortunate because my generation was the first one that was moving past that, where the computers were already more or less functioning and you didn't have to spend quite so much time learning how to do the, you know, coding and the programming and things. And when I started OATS in 2004, a lot of seniors were still struggling with that history of the technology being about engineering and about the devices and about having to learn all these techniques. But that was really where the change started happening with the web and with consumer technology and the email that every, you know, when Gmail started and people could get free email And when laptops became relatively easy to use and the tablets, certainly the iPhone has really changed the way a lot of people interact with technology and generated a new era of using tablets, which a lot of people are really comfortable with now, the iPad or the Android tablets. And so today, I can sit down with a 75-year-old person who may have a real terror of computers and technology. And under 2 hours, I can have that person at least interacting with the internet, using a tablet device, sending and receiving a message, taking a photograph and sharing it with somebody. You could not have done that in 2004. There were just too many elements that you had to learn in order to operate the device. So today, you get a lot more bang for your buck as a first-time user, and the sort of learning curve is a lot quicker than it used to be. And also, the devices are actually a lot cheaper. My first PC in 1989, when I went to college, was $2,000, and it wasn't that great a PC. Today, you know, you can buy a great Chromebook that'll do a lot of what I need for my computers and probably what John is describing for what he's using for under $200. And they're pretty reliable machines. They work great. So
I bought an AT&T 6300 for $5,000 a long time ago. And in order to use it, there was a program called Q&A, and you had to write your own database program. And I'm not an engineer. I was in sales. But the application and what you could do with it was what intrigued me. It was just a different planet. But I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, that's the kind of story we're trying to tell here.
Yeah, that's very important, Otto, what you're saying, because between you and Tom, you spend $5,000 for a senior, even today, to spend $5,000. That could hurt a person's budget. $200, even the adult children can buy for mom or dad. And if they don't use it, guess what? It's not the end of the world. They say, Ma, try it. Give me a break. I bought my mother maybe 10 years ago. I didn't buy it for her. I put her on my package so she'd have her cell phone. And after about 3 years, one day she tells me, John, please take the phone back. I said, Ma, use the phone. She never took the phone away from the regular phone in the kitchen. I said, the whole idea is when you and daddy go out, you bring it in the car. No, we don't touch it. We always keep it by the phone. I said, okay. So I canceled it. It was just like the dumbest thing in the world. You could, I said, use this. And it was what, $10 or $15 a month. Some people are not going to adapt. And that's 100% fine. But to have the ability to, like someone like Otto is the extreme on the other end. You know, Otto is our king because he's into the middle of everything, and he really should be, because seniors have this at their disposal. Why not keep up with your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, whatever it is, with a lousy phone call or a Zoom, just to say, hi, how you doing? You know, I want to show you my new whatever it is in my kitchen. And especially during a pandemic, you know, keep you in the loop. And for seniors, like I know you're in Denver. So somebody in Denver can hook up to somebody in New York.
I have a great story about this, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but
it's just conversation.
Denver has a wonderful senior citizen funding model out there. There's a big foundation that's doing a lot of innovation in Colorado, all across the state. And they asked us to come to Denver. And we started a Senior Planet Center in an airplane hangar, in a historic airplane hangar at Lowry Base, right next to the Wings Over the Rockies a Museum of Aerospace. And it's a super cool space. It's like a big loft, kind of a what you'd see if you went to one of those hipster Dumbo places and saw the people in their skateboards and things. But this one's for senior citizens, and it's a really, really neat place. And our trainer out there is a bit of a star, and she was delivering a program on using technology to make money and learn how to go online and be able to supplement your income a little bit with different kinds of different sorts of you know, jobs that people do. And one of the participants was in New York City, but taking the class from the Denver trainer. And she got online. She found out about the census and that you could become a census enumerator. She got a job working for the census. through the internet, and then started doing that, and then started working with the digital portion of it as well, because you need a little bit of computer skills. And she started earning money this summer, which supplemented her income. And after COVID happened, her friends refused to come to New York City. They all live in New Jersey. She used to be part of a pool club out there. So she got frustrated that she couldn't be connecting with her friends, even though they were all hanging around the pool. And she bought a 1997 Chrysler Sebring convertible. And she drove out to New Jersey to hang out in the pool club. And she had her friends back for the summer. And she had such a good experience that she emailed us and said, she actually emailed the trainer in Denver, who then sent the email to me in New York and said, thanks a lot. The distances have just evaporated these days. And I can use a great quality person out in Denver and use their resources to build a great program that somebody in New York is using to connect to her friends in New Jersey.
Yes. Honestly, it's amazing. Honestly, stories like that, it's like, two things.
It was cool.
One, technology. Go ahead.
One other thing she said that I'll never forget in the email, and this gets a little bit to your description of your experience with your mom. She said a lot of people in COVID are really going through, a terrible time. But for me personally, I'm feeling very optimistic about myself and my future because I've learned all these new things and I feel more empowered. I'm actually growing as a person. And she felt almost a little bit guilty that, she was doing really well, but she wanted to share with us that it was partly because of that engagement that she had with us. And I think what's going on here is that, aging today in 2020 is very different from what it was like 20 or 30 years ago. And people are, if you think about, my grandparents when I was in high school, when they turned 60, they thought, geez, we just don't have that much time left. We're going to go to Florida and play golf. And we might have a life expectancy. 10 years would be a lot of time. And they wanted to just kind of live and, have a little bit of leisure time. But today, if you reach 60, your life expectancy is 85. And 25 years is a lot of golf. And for many people, because of things like the medical advances and hip replacements and all the things that are available to us, and also, people own home ownership is at a different level and things, people have more to rely on to live better. And they're asking a lot more of those post 60 years. So it would be very natural for your mom to be looking for a way to kind of engage more. But today what's happening is people are saying, well, wait a minute, maybe we don't want to just leave the cell phone by the phone in the kitchen. We want to start asking, what else can we do with this technology? So we can talk a little bit more about that after the break. But I think it's really, there's a new culture emerging of aging, and that's part of what we're tapping into here.
And I definitely want to touch on it. We will take a break right now, but come back to that because that's a very important point. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.